Grace and peace from the Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you now and forevermore. Amen. We thank the Lord of all grace who has given us today to worship with him, the Communion Sunday, to come and partake in these divine emblems which signifies the body and the blood of Jesus. And because there is no shame in the blood of Jesus, and because there is no shame with regard to the body of Jesus, when we die with him, all our shame is being taken away and is being replaced by the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning we are taking our scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 to 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26 to 28.
I'm reading the New Living Translation. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is the holy and blameless and stained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he did not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once and for all, when he offered himself as a sacrifice for all the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weaknesses. But after the law was given, God appointed his son with an oath, and his son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Amen.
Amen. This morning, the title of the message is The Holiness of Christ. The Holiness of Christ, an example to believers. The Holiness of Christ, an example to believers. This month, we are looking at the topic holiness. Holiness. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. The writer of Hebrews said that without holiness, no one can see God. Without holiness, no one can see God. So holiness is very important. Holiness is the will of God for believers. It is the will of God for believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says that it is God's will for us to be holy. It is God's will for us to be holy. And in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible said that God has not called us into impurity or to live impure lives, but he has actually called us to live a holy lives. So holiness is actually the will of God. It is God's desire that we live a holy life. Holiness is also for the church. It's also for the church. Apostle Paul admonishing the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, Apostle Paul said that now to the church in Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus who are called to be holy people. So holiness, the church has been called to live a holy life. The church has been called to be sanctified. The church has been called to be a glorious people. Hallelujah. Beloved, holiness is also for service. Holiness is also for service. Apostle Paul communicating to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. He said that in a large house, there are vessels not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. some for noble purposes, some for ignoble purposes. But if a man purge himself and set himself apart, then he will be an article that is being set apart for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. So the set apart here is the word holiness. If the man cleanses himself, then he will be a tool. He will be an object in the hands of God, prepared for every good work. Beloved, before we will be able to make impact, we ask to become an agent of transformation, to be able to possess the nation. We are enjoined to set ourselves apart. We are enjoined to consecrate our lives. We are enjoined to live a holy life. It is when we do that, then we will become a tool. We will become a vessel which is being set aside for the master's use. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning the grace of the Lord will come upon you and you will be able to live a holy life. And that holiness will cause you to be an instrument in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Beloved, holiness comes from the Greek word kadesh. Kadesh, which means to be set apart. Last week, we looked at the fact that everything or anything that the Lord set aside becomes holy. Anybody who does anything for the Lord, the person must be consecrated. So both the person and the things that is being used to execute the services of God, all of them must be holy. So the tabernacle was holy because the presence of God was always in the tabernacle. The articles that was being used in the tabernacles were also consecrated, and they were holy. And the priests as well too were also holy. So holiness is very important in the life of the believer. We are enjoined to consecrate ourselves to God. In fact, Apostle Paul, communicating to the church at Rome, in Romans chapter 6, verse 19, said that when you were in the world, you were slaves to wickedness and unfiltiness, uncleanness. You were serving all those ungodly acts. Now that you have also come to this glorious kingdom, why don't you be slaves to righteousness, which will lead to holiness? So, beloved, as Christ has called us by imputing on us his righteousness, he's also enjoining us. He's also admonishing us to live a holy life. So the righteousness that we have received from Jesus Christ must also lead to holiness. Because without holiness, no one will be able to see God. Hallelujah. Beloved, holiness also means that we are being cleansed completely. We are being cleansed completely. We are being cleansed completely. There shouldn't be any iota of aberration or sin in our lives. It is impossible. The Lord cannot look or behold evil. As Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13a tells us, He cannot behold evil. So when the Lord called his people from Egypt, and when they came to Sinai, in Exodus chapter 19, the Bible said that God told Moses, if these people will obey me, then they will be a treasured possession. They will be my people, my treasured people. Even though the whole earth is in my mind, I'm going to make them kings and priests unto myself. And in the verse 10 of Exodus chapter 19, God then told Moses, Moses, consecrate the people for 2 days. And on the third day, I, the Lord, I will descend among them in a thick cloud on this mountain. So before the Lord could come and speak to the people need to consecrate themselves. They need to be holy. Because God is a holy God. And there is no way that he can communicate to man who is unholy. So man needed to consecrate himself before he can have a relationship with God. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that this morning we will continue to live a holy lives. Hallelujah. So in Exodus chapter 19 verse 22, God even told Moses, this mountain that I, the Lord, I have descended, make sure that the priests don't even come close. They need to be consecrated, because if they are not consecrated and they come close, I will break up against them. That means that the Lord is going to kill them because they are unholy. So even the priests, the Lord was enjoining them to live a holy life. And we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. So Paul said that we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable act of service, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And he said that we can do this when we are being transformed by the renewal of our minds. I pray to Lord God Almighty that our minds will be renewed and our minds will be like the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind of Jesus Christ also be in you. Until the time of the end, Christ is ensuring that all of us will have him being formed in us. Hallelujah. Beloved, so holiness is very important. And we have some elements or some agents which is very important in the cleansing of the believer. So how are we made holy? You could see that the holiness of a man is an exclusive work of the triune God. The triune God is interested in the holiness of the church, in the holiness of the believer. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Apostle Paul was communicating to the church at Thessalonica. And Apostle Paul said that, May the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. That means that may the God of peace make you holy. May the God of peace make you completely pure. And he says that that same God should take care of your whole spirit, your soul and your body, and be kept in blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, beloved, God himself has sanctified the church to live a holy life. Not only God, but also Jesus Christ, where we took our theme from this year. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 26. Apostle Paul said that, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself to her. And Apostle Paul said that the reason why Christ gave himself to the church is, one, to make the church holy. And two, to also to cleanse the church. And Apostle Paul said that Christ made the church holy and cleansed the church through the washing of the church by the word of God. So the word of God cleanses us. So Christ also cleanses us and makes us holy. Not only that, but also the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Apostle Paul was communicating to the church at Rome and said that, I have been called as a minister to the Gentiles, to proclaim the word of God so that the Gentiles' offerings will be acceptable as it is being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So the Gentiles are also being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I mean the church. You and I were also sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is also an agent in the sanctification process of the believer. Also, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is also an important agent in the holiness of the believer. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12. In the olden days, the Bible says that after the high priest has taken the blood from the animals, the animals are being burned at the outside of the camp. So Apostle Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13, 12, said that Jesus Christ was also offered at the city gate where he was bruised, he was humiliated, and he also made us holy by his own blood. So in the olden days, they were taking the blood of the animals, and then after they would burn the animal at the outside of the camp. In the New Testament, we realize that Christ was also being disgraced on the way to Calvary, how he was bruised, how he was tortured, and how he died on the cross. And he used his blood, which came out of his body, to make us holy. Hallelujah. So the blood of Jesus also makes us holy. And also his word. Jesus communicating to the disciples in John chapter 17, verse 17, said that God sanctify them by your truth, for thy word is truth. So the word of God also sanctifies us. It makes us holy. So Jesus Christ in John Gospel chapter 15 verse 3 said that you are cleansed because of the words that I've spoken unto you. So we are cleansed because of the word. So you could see that when it comes to the holiness of the church, of the believer, the triune God, all of them are interested. God the Father is interested in our holiness. He has made us holy. Jesus Christ has made us holy by the washing through the word. He has made us holy by his own blood, and he has made us holy by his word. And also the Holy Spirit has also made us holy. That means holiness is God, and God is what? Holiness. You cannot separate God from holiness, and you cannot separate holiness from God. It is actually who God is. So the love of God is holy. The power of God is holy. Everything about the Lord God Almighty, about Jesus Christ, is holy. Hallelujah. So beloved, the Lord who has called us wants us to be holy. Without holiness, no one can please God. I want to take some few study cases, and then we look at it and we see how holiness is very important and very dear to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. The holiness of Jesus Christ, an example to believers. Amen. So we want to look at the first man called Moses. Moses. We want to look at Moses. We want to read from Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12 to 14. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12 to 14.
Numbers 27, verse 12 to 14. One day the Lord said to Moses, climb one of the mountains east of the river and look out over the land I have given the people of Israel. After you have seen it, you will die like your brother Aaron, For you both rebelled against my instructions in the wilderness of Zin. When the people of Israel rebelled, you failed to demonstrate my holiness to them at the waters. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, this story, we all know this story. The story is recorded in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 to 13. Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 to 13. This was when the Israelites, they have come to the desert of Zin, the desert of Sin, to a place called Kadesh, to a place called Kadesh or Kadesh. When we say Kadesh, Kadesh, as I've explained to you, means holy. So it is a place of holiness. Hallelujah. It is a place of holiness. The Bible says that when the Israelites came to that place called Kadesh, the Bible said that the Israelites or the people of Israel came to Moses and then they complained. They complained, and their complaint was that there is no water for us to drink. No water here, and we are about to die. And the people made very terrible pronouncement. Some of the pronouncements that they told Moses and Aaron were that they said that it would have been better for them to have died even in Egypt. And Moses wanted to tell them that there were no grapes, vines, or figs, or pomegranate in Egypt. They said so many things, and the Bible said that they even contended with Moses and Aaron. The people were even trying to say that Moses has not been able to lead them very well. In other words, Moses has misled them. This thing was not easy for Moses. They rebelled strongly against Moses and Aaron, and the Bible said that Moses and Aaron went and stood in front of the tabernacle of God, the tent of meeting. And the Bible said that the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And God told Moses, Moses, take your rod, your staff, and go and gather all the people around the rock and speak to the rock. When you speak to the rock, water will come out of it and then they will drink. And the reason why God told Moses this thing is that so that the people will know that God is holy. God is holy. That was the reason why God told Moses to gather the people around the rock or before the rock and then speak to the rock. Now Moses obeyed the instructions that God gave to him. And then he gathered the people before the rock. And the Bible said that something happened which cannot be understood. It's very difficult to understand. When Moses was before the rock, the Bible said that he became angry. He became angry and started saying that, you stiff-necked people, you troublesome people, you rebellious people. Should God, or Moses said so many things. Moses becoming angry in some way is okay. Because even in Exodus chapter 33 verse 5, God himself told Moses that these people are stiff-necked. These people are rebellious. And because they have rebelled against the Lord, he is not going to send them to the promised land. He will let angels lead them. And it was even the same Moses who even told God, if you do that, the people who are in Egypt, the people of the world, will say that you brought them here to kill them. And God, if you don't want to understand me, please, then go with the people. Take my name even out of the book. And then the Lord agreed with me and said that my presence will go with you. So God has already, in Exodus chapter 33, verse 5, communicated that the people were stiff-necked. They were rebellious people. So Moses becoming angry shouldn't have been a problem. However, it was a problem. What Moses did was that he becoming angry, the Bible said that instead of him to have spoken to the rock, he took the rod or the staff which was in his hand and he struck the rock 2 times. And water gushed out of the rock and the people drank it. In fact, Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, said that when the Israelites were traversing on the wilderness, they drank from a spiritual rock, and that rock was Jesus Christ. So the rock that Moses struck it was symbolizing Jesus Christ. It was a spiritual rock. Hallelujah. Water came out of it, and the people drank. But God was not happy about Moses. God was very, very sad. And God became angry. And God told Moses that, Moses, because of what you have done, you and your brother Aaron will not lead the people to the promised land. Beloved, why should this thing be a problem? Why should this thing be a problem? It was a problem because if you read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, God communicated to Moses and said, Moses, you did not treat me with respect. You did not believe me that I, the Lord, I am holy. So it is a sin because it was an unbelief. Moses did not believe that God will be able to bring water out of the rock. So unbelief is also a sin. Because Moses did not do that, Moses also did not show or demonstrate to the people that God was holy. So in the verse 13 of Numbers chapter 20, Numbers 20 verse 13, the Lord said that if Moses would have done that, he could have proved him holy before the Lord. He could have proved him holy before the Lord. Beloved, so it means that when we mess up with holiness, God is not going to let us go scot-free. What Moses did was actually irreverence. It was actually irreverent. Moses did not behave that God has spoken to him. He did not fear the Lord. Beloved, irreverence is a very great sin. Irreverence is an act of disobedience. When you don't give the Lord reverence, it means that you have not been able to obey the holiness of God, and that will cost you even your promised land. This was the sin that Moses committed, for letting his anger to be more than the fear of God. Moses' fear of God should have rather be more than his anger. I pray to Lord God Almighty that we will not show any act of irreverence to the Lord God Almighty. We will always lead a holy life. We will always fear the Lord. What he has communicated to us is what we will do so that we receive the presence of God. Hallelujah. Beloved, this happened at the place called Kadesh. This Kadesh has a very important significance in the Bible. It's a place of holy. That place, so many things happen there. So many things. Whether it be good or bad, it happened there. It was the place, according to Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, it was the place that Miriam died and was buried. In fact, if you want to even look at historical antecedents of the place Kadesh, in Genesis chapter 16, verse 14. When Hagar has left the house of Abraham with the lad Ishmael, and then they came to the desert. The Bible said that as the child was crying, there was no water there. Bible said that God opened the eyes of Hagar, and there was a well beside her. That well is called the well of Laharoi. So Hagar said that this is the well of the living God who sees me. This well was at the place called Kadesh. So that was at the place called Kadesh, where Hagar discovered the water for the son. Also, in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1, when there was famine in the land that Abraham was dwelling, and then Abraham moved, turns southward and moved to the place which was close to the Philistine, specifically Gera. The Bible said that Abraham sojourned there, and Gera was also between Shur and then Kadesh. So Kadesh is also being mentioned here. Also, when you go to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 46, Kadesh was also the place after the Israelites has moved from Egypt and they have come to the wilderness. This was the place that they wandered a lot. A lot of the wanderings of the Israelites occurred in that place called Kadesh, a place of holy. Hallelujah, the holy place. And as we also read from Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 to 26, it was also the place that the Israelites came to Moses that they want to go and see the land. And Moses sent the spices to go and then see the land, that the land was flowing with milk and honey. So when you look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 26, you find out that when they brought that bad report, the report was communicated at the place called Kadesh. At the place called Kadesh. Aaron also died at that place and he was buried in Numbers chapter 20, verse 22 to 29. Aaron also died there. And also in Numbers chapter 20, verse 14. Numbers 20, verse 14. The Bible said that even after the Israelites have rebelled against Moses, and because of that, Moses also through anger has struck the rock, and then water has gushed out of it. Moses also sent people to go and ask a permission from the king of Edom. The king of Edom, that they should allow the Israelites to pass through their highway, which the king of Edom also refused. So at that place, so many things happened there. At that place, so many things happened there. It's a place which was well known in the life of the Israelite. I pray to Lord God Almighty that when we come to the place of holy, the place of holiness, as for us, we will not receive any bad issues. We will always receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord God Almighty bless you so much. Amen. Now, the second story that I want us to look at is in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. It's about the story of Uzzah and the holiness of God. The Bible says that Israel, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, they indulged in sin and then adultery. So many things. They did not give any regard to the Lord God Almighty. And they went to a battle with the Philistines. And the Bible said that the Philistines defeated them, 1 Samuel chapter 4. The Philistines defeated them and even killed 4,000 men. The Israelites came back and then they said that the reason why the Philistines defeated us is because when we went to the battle, we did not send the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God. So the Bible said that they took the Ark of God to another battle. And when they were taking the Ark of the Covenant, it was being carried by the two sons of Eli. That is Hophni and then the brother. And when they took the Ark of the Covenant and they reached the camp of the Philistines, the Bible, they started shouting, "Hey!" And then the Philistines melted in fear. What is coming upon us? What is coming upon us? And then the Philistine had the information that the Israelites, they have brought their God, the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. The Ark symbolizes that God is with them. So because God is with them, they are going to be victorious. But then some people told them that, let us go. Let us go and fight with them. The Bible said that they came and fought with the Israelites. And even this time, the massacre was very great. The Philistine killed more than 30,000 soldiers of the Israelites. More than 30,000. Beloved, what is the lesson here? Beloved, we cannot lead any life. We cannot lead unrepentant life. We cannot live in sin and so expecting to receive victories from God. We cannot be disobedient and still wanting the Lord to bless us. The Israelites, they have not repented from their sins, but they want to take the Ark of the Covenant, thinking that they can do everything and the Lord God Almighty will still bless them. Beloved, may we come to this realization that if you want to possess the nation, if we want to receive the blessings of God, if the church can operate in power, beloved, we need to be holy people. We need to be holy people. May the Lord God Almighty be very gracious unto us. So the Bible said that the Philistines defeated them, and then they captured the ark. They captured the ark. How they were able to capture the ark, it baffles my understanding. So they captured the ark, and then they took the ark to their Philistine country. The first place that they took the ark was that they took the ark to Ashdod, and they placed it in their temple god called Dagon. And the Bible said that when they wake up in the morning, they realized that Dagon was on the floor. They put Dagon again on top of the table. The following morning, they realized that the hands and everything of Dagon has been broken. And God inflicted the Philistines with tumors. With tumors. He inflicted them with tumors. There was a lot of disaster in the land of the Philistines. First Samuel chapter 5. So the Philistines agreed and said that we have to take the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to Gath. To Gath. And when they took it to Gath, God also inflicted the people there also. God was demonstrating his power. That the reason why you were able to become victorious because the people sinned. Though. Beloved, until we sin, until we go against the things of God, we will always be victorious. The Bible said that the righteous will be bold as a lion. If we are righteous, we are leading a holy life. Oh, we will always be victorious. We will always be victorious. When we sin, then God will remove his hedge around us. But when we live a holy life, whatever that he has said about us will come to pass. But the Philistines, they thought that the Lord, they can mess up with him. But God actually showed them that he's the God of the universe. Hallelujah. And then they said that, let us now take it to Ekron. So they are moving the ark from Gath to Ekron. So it's very fascinating. And the people of Ekron saw that we don't need it. We don't want this ark. We don't want this ark. Because this ark is killing a lot of people. It is bringing a lot of disaster. So the Philistines, they assembled all their fortune tellers, all the people who are able to see in the spiritual, the false ones, not the good ones, the false ones. And then they gave them a recommendation. And they said that the reason why this thing is happening to us is because of the God of Israel. If this thing will leave us, do you know what we should do? We should send this ark to the land of Israel again. To a land of Israel again. But when we are sending it, we don't need to send it empty. We need to also add offerings. So the Bible said that they add gold offerings, five of them. And when you read that, theologians are saying that it symbolizes the five cities of Philistine. That is Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Ekron, and then Gat, the five cities. So they sent five offerings. And then they put the Ark of the Covenant, based on the recommendation from the soothsayers, they put it on a new cart, and then they transported it with the help of two cows. And they sent the Ark of the Covenant all the way to Beth Shemesh, in 1 Samuel chapter 6, Beth Shemesh. When the Ark of the Lord reached Beth Shemesh, the Bible says that the people also didn't know what God has said concerning the Ark, because the Ark of the Lord is holy, and nobody is supposed to look into the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant. And some people there also didn't know, the Israelites there in Beth Shemesh also didn't know, and then they look into the Ark of the Covenant, and God cared about more than 70,000. We can read this one from 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19 to 22. 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 19 to 22. What does he say?
Men from Beth Shemesh, because they looked into the Ark of the Lord, and the people mourned greatly because of what the Lord has done. Verse 20, who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, this Holy One? They cried, where can we stand? Where can we send the Ark from here? So they sent messengers from the people of Kiriath Jearim and told them, the Philistines have returned the Ark of the Lord. Come here and get it. Amen.
Amen. So when they look into the Ark, the Lord killed them. Killed them. Hallelujah. The Lord killed them. So when it comes to the things of God, holiness is very, very important. So they say that, oh, now we want to take the Ark of the Lord from here and send it to Kiriath Jearim. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. So they sent it to Kiriath Jearim to a man called Abinadab. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 2. Abinadab. And they consecrated Abinadab's son called Eleazar to take care of the ark. So the ark remained in Kiriath Jearim for 20 years. For 20 years. So the ark has always been there for 20 years. So when David became king, when David became king, the Bible said that David gathered some people that the ark of the Lord cannot be somewhere. He wanted to bring the ark of the Lord to Jerusalem, to the city of David. So the Bible said that David assembled men, about 30,000 men, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1 to 11. And David and the people did something that actually I don't understand. The Bible said that they also carried the ark on a new cart. On a new cart. Beloved, we all know from Exodus chapter 25, verse 10 to 22, that when Moses was given the instructions to construct the ark, God also gave the instruction on how the ark should be carried. God said that they should make four rings and then they should put what posts inside. So the ark was always being carried by the priest holding the poles. And the priest should be, or they must already be consecrated before they can carry it. Also, when you come to Numbers chapter 4, verse 1 to 20, God gave specific instructions that the Levites should carry the Ark of the Covenant, specifically even the Kohathites. So the Kohathites, who belongs to the tribe of the Levites are the people who are supposed to carry the ark of the Lord. And when they are carrying it, they carry it by holding the poles and then the rings, which is at the bottom of the ark, and then they pull it. So I don't really understand why David and then the Israelites didn't know that they don't need to carry the ark anyhow. They don't need to put the ark on a new cart. Probably it will happen that because the ark has been in that place for a very long time, they have forgotten about everything about God. They have forgotten about the holiness of God. They have forgotten about the reverence of God. And they have relegated everything of God to the background. And the Bible said that when they were bringing the ark of the Lord, they were making tambourines, and then they were happy with the tambourines and the castanet and the hype and everything. And the ark was about to stumble, was about to triple down and then maybe fall down something. And there was a man called Uzzah. There was a man called Uzzah. Touch the ark of the covenant, wanting to stabilize it or to make it steady. And the Lord God Almighty killed him. God struck him dead straight away. And David became angry. David was annoyed. Why the Lord God Almighty has killed Uzzah? But the reason why the Lord God Almighty killed Uzzah is because of this answer, which is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Why God killed Uzzah.
2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 7. Mm. And I read, "Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right beside the ark of God." Amen.
Continue to 8.
David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst against Uzzah. He named the place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. Amen.
9.
Verses 9. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" Read verse 10.
10.
So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Bible says that when the Lord killed Uzzah, David became angry with the Lord. He became angry. He said, I cannot bring this ark of the Lord to Israel. And they took it somewhere. And the Bible said that the reason why God killed Uzzah is in the verse 6 and 7. Is because of irreverence. Beloved, irreverence is a very serious sin against the Lord. Irreverence is a very serious sin against the Lord. Because Uzzah was not supposed to touch the ark of the Lord. But the ark of the Lord is only being carried only by the priests. It's only the priest who touches it. And before you can touch it, you must consecrate yourself. Beloved, we cannot do anything and then we want the Lord God Almighty to bless us all. God does not joke with his holiness, because the ark was the most holy object in the land of the Israel. The most holy. That was why it was being kept in the Holy of Holies. So you cannot mess up. We cannot just touch it and do anything with it. Beloved, we need to reverence the Lord. Irreverence will always cause a very catastrophic effect in our life. May the Lord God Almighty be very gracious unto us. Amen. So David was very sad, and then they took it to the house of Obed-Edom, and then the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. David then learned his lessons for about 3 months when the ark was in the house of Obed-Edom. He studied and he realized that the ark is being carried based on specific instructions. Beloved, if you obey the instructions of the Lord, if you will live a holy life, the Lord God Almighty will always bless us. I want to end this one with the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Everything about Jesus Christ is holiness. Everything about Jesus Christ is holiness. That is why we said that the holiness of Christ, an example to believers. So let us also look at some aspect of Jesus Christ this morning, and then we'll go to the Lord's table. Hallelujah. Amen. Beloved, the birth of Jesus Christ is a holy birth. Even though he's supposed to come on the earth as a human being, he is also God. He is divine. And for the Israelites, they know that God is holy. They know that God is holy. But human beings, there is some kind of some question. So the Bible said that an angel has to come and then communicate the birth of Jesus Christ to a virgin called Mary. When the discourse occurred between the angel and then Mary, Mary asks the angel, "How can it be, since that I am a virgin?" And then in Luke Gospel chapter 1 verse 35, the angel said that the power of the Most High God will overshadow you, and the offspring that you are going to bring forth is going to be a holy offspring. So Jesus Christ, he was conceived by a holy God, the Holy Spirit, and he himself is also holy, according to Luke Gospel chapter 1, verse 35. Now, when Jesus Christ started his ministry, even demons even recognized that he is holy. Demons. According to Mark Gospel chapter 1, verse 24. Mark Gospel chapter 1, verse 24. And Luke Gospel chapter 4, verse 34. The Bible said that when the demons recognized him, the Bible said that, "You, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, the Holy One, have you come and destroy us?" So even demons even recognize that Jesus Christ is holy. Demons recognize that Jesus Christ is holy. Amen. I pray that as you are hearing me at the sound of my voice, you will know that our Lord Jesus Christ is a holy God. And during the ministry of Jesus Christ, his early ministry, everything about him was also holy. A typical example is when Jesus Christ appeared at the Sea of Galilee or at the Lake of Gennesaret in Luke Gospel chapter 5. After he has asked Peter to launch out into the deep, and Peter said that, "I've toiled all night, I've not caught anything, but at your word, I will launch up into the deep." The Bible says that Peter caught great multitude of fish. And when he caught great multitude of fish, in Luke Gospel chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible said that Peter then recognized the holiness of Jesus Christ. And he realized that the man is a holy man. And therefore he said that, depart from me, for I am a sinner. Luke Gospel chapter 5 verse 8, depart from me, for I am a sinner. When you are a sinner, you cannot come to the holy God. You cannot come to the holy God. So Peter, even though Jesus Christ was in the form of man at that time, Peter, seeing what has happened, recognized that he is a holy God. Hallelujah. Not only that, we also read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38 to 39. About the demon-possessed man. When Jesus Christ has healed this demon-possessed man, all the people saw that this thing that has happened has never happened in Israel before. It has never happened in Israel before. They saw Jesus Christ to be a holy person. And you understand why I'm saying that. They saw him to be a holy person. That was why he was able to heal the demons possessed. My beloved, if we can do the things that the Lord Jesus Christ did, and even greater works, we need to live a holy life. We need to live a holy life. Without holiness, we cannot. Not only that, but the paralytic man, too, when the Lord also healed the paralytic man and says that your sin has been forgiven, said that your sin has been what? Forgiven. The people did not understand, and then they were complaining. They said that, what does this man mean? Your sin has been forgiven. And Jesus Christ said that, what is difficult? To forgive sin, or to say that, take up your mat and then walk. You can see this story from Mark Gospel chapter 2, verse 5 to 12. Mark Gospel chapter 2, verse 5 to 12. And then the verse 12. When Jesus Christ healed this man, the Bible said that, the verse 12, the people said, none of this has ever happened in Israel. None of this has ever happened in Israel. Why are they saying all this? They are saying all these things because of what happens in John chapter 9 about the blind man. The man who was blind and was born blind. And then Jesus Christ healed him. Healed this blind man at John chapter 9. When the Pharisees were questioning this blind man, that who he healed you, said that, I don't know. And then they asked him so many questions. And they said that, don't believe this man. This man is a sinner. This man is a sinner. This man is leading you astray. They say so many things. And when you look at the man's answer in John chapter 9, verse 31, look at it. John chapter 9, verse 31 to 33. The man said that all of us, we know, for all of us, all the Christians, all the Israelites, we know that God don't hear sinners. And anyone who fears and does the will of God is the person that God hears. So this man who was born blind and Jesus has healed him, communicating to us that Jesus Christ was able to do all that he was able to do because he was a holy person. Because God don't hear sinners. And anybody who does the will of God, God will hear. Beloved, for God to hear us, we need to do his will. For him to hear us, we need to do his will. We need to live a holy life. Not only that, even when Jesus Christ even died, his death, his resurrection, everything about him also portrayed that the man is a holy man. All of us will remember that when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, and then there was 3 hours darkness on the surface of the earth. 3 hours darkness on the surface of the earth. And then the curtains in the Holy of Holies rendered apart, torn into two. And then there was an earthquake. If you look at the account of Luke, in Luke Gospel chapter 23, verse 47, the Roman soldier said that, certainly, indeed, this man was innocent. This man was innocent. It is that Jesus Christ is clean. Even Matthew's account is even being more clear. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 54, the centurion said that truly, truly, he is the Son of God. Truly, he is the Son of God. Beloved, even the death of Jesus Christ even portrayed that he is a holy God. He is a holy God. And when he resurrected, and then John saw the glorified Jesus who was moving in the church in Revelation, the Bible said that he could not look at this glorious holy God in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And the Bible said that John fell down as if he is dead. And the Lord touched him and said that, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I was the one who died, and now I live, and I live forever and ever. Beloved, if we live a holy life, the Lord will bless us. In the New Testament church, when people didn't want to live a holy life concerning Ananias and Sapphira, God killed them. God killed them. Beloved, God don't want sin in his church. If you want to possess the nation, he wants us to live a holy life. And when we live a holy life, the Lord God Almighty will bless us. Jesus Christ is our example of holiness. He is our example of holiness. And he was able to do everything that he was able to do because he led a holy life. When we also live a holy life, the Lord God Almighty will strengthen us. He will empower us, and we will be victorious. The church can only possess the nation when the church lives a holy life. May the Lord God Almighty, the God of our fathers, bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.